Thank you, Brother Mark. Appreciate it. You know how everywhere you go and they have some kind of an event, usually there's somebody that precedes the main act, right? And we usually have a warm-up. So Brother Mark is the warm-up. He's the one that comes in and makes sure there's a pulse. And he'll say controversial things to get everybody's blood boiling. And then I know you're awake by the time I get here. No, I'm just, and then he hands it off. No, good stuff. Isaiah chapter 55, and this ties in with what we're going to continue this morning. Before I forget, really quick, and by the way, the cells, they've been in the church for quite some time now, just new to our class. For those of you that don't walk up to them and say, "Hi, welcome to our church." How long have you been coming here to Buffalo Ridge? About a year. Okay, good. Good, good, good. So it's good to... I think it's just like anything. After the year and a half that we had with this very interesting time, and I don't even like to use the word that describes it, but I think we're still meeting folks. I am meeting folks for the first time here that know me. It was interesting. I was at Sam's this week, and I was walking down the aisle, and I saw a family, real nice young family, and he looked at me, and I'm like, man, I'm supposed to know this person. You know how you got that feeling? I'm like, Lord, where's my church app when I need it? And he said, "Dan Rogers." And I said, "Well, hello there. Do I know you?" And I used to get real embarrassed with that, and I thought, you know what, let's just cut to the chase. It's worth me just saying, "Listen, I'm sorry, I'm lame, and I don't remember everybody's name." And he says, "Nope, you probably don't know me, but we know you." And they've been watching our services online, and from Greenville, and they're like, "We love what God is doing down there." And I thought, "Oh my soul, thank God I didn't cuss somebody out, not that I would." Or I didn't misbehave at Sam's Club, right? You just never know, do you? You never know. Tomorrow, Kyle and Anna Snyder are coming in to be with us as the student director and coordinator. So you all know that, but he'll be moving tomorrow. Brother Stephen Gallion is going to be heading up the move brigade. And so if you can help at 2:00 tomorrow, many hands make light work, and it becomes fun when there's more hands than there is work. So if you can help at all, please see Brother Stephen Gallion today or call the church office and find out the address, and we would be much obliged for that. At least I would, because I'm going to be there too. And the more of you that are there, the less I have to do. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55, verse 8. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." It's very interesting. Our thoughts. He doesn't distinguish whether it's Christian thoughts or evil thoughts or non-believer thoughts. He just says that our thoughts are not his thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways, he says, higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So his ways are much higher than ours. The bar that the Lord sets is so much higher than ours. Even that's why the Bible says that our righteousness in God's eyes, it's as filthy rags. He is that perfect, and He is that holy. It's not that good things that we do are not good and that we should not do them because they don't quite meet perfection. He's just trying to say, listen, because we have a tendency of thinking, we have arrived. We get that way. When things are going well, we get comfortable because we think we no longer have to strive. We do that in our Christian walk, in our daily walk with Christ. We get much comfortable. If we've checked the boxes, and we're not dumb, we listen ever since we get saved and we start growing, and then the longer we are saved, the more years that we have in Christ, we tend to learn what boxes to check, and we become comfortable in our Christianity, in our walk with Christ. So much so that we've streamlined the process to where we almost don't need to grow anymore. Have you ever noticed that? And so we become comfortable, and so we're not growing. And if you're not growing, what are you doing? You're stagnating. And you are of no effectivity for Christ. I don't even know if that's a word, but I just made it up. You're not effective for Christ. You're not effective for Christ. Why? Because we're not there yet. And until we achieve that perfection, when is that? When God comes back and then He takes us out of here, and then because we can't do it, He gives us a whole new set of hardware. Thank God. Because I guarantee you, some of us would kill some folks when we get to heaven. They have already died once, but Adam and Eve, man, they'd be first on the list. On the way in, they'd be, you know, way to go. I mean, so God gives us a new body. He gives us a new everything before we get to heaven. Thank God for that. All right, so how does this tie in? We're talking about the Word of God. This is a continuation, and I hope it is the conclusion of this lesson here on the Word of God. Now, we are skipping the rock across the pond. We are in no ways getting in depth into every detail about the Word of God, everything that we know humanly, but I can say His ways are so much higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. So that's what drives us to the Word of God. We want to know more about Him. We never want to stop learning about Him. I learn something every day about Him, and I want to know more. We started out talking about how the Bible is unique in four ways: in its production, its preservation, its proclamation, and its purpose. And then we looked at the importance of the Bible in the believer's life. Then we went to Psalm 119, and we looked at how that there was eight things for the believer in Psalm 119. We looked at how the Bible is water for cleansing, wealth and treasure, friend and counselor. It is a song to sing. So many songs in Scripture and directly from Scripture that we can sing. It is sweeter than honey. It is a lamp unto our feet. It is great spoil or treasure that has been found, and it is a great heritage. We also saw how the Bible does, and we finished last week, not last week, but the week before last, because we had a guest speaker last week. I got to tell you something funny. I got to share this. I'm just being transparent. I get all excited, you know, and I'm keeping track only for this purpose in the beginning. Now I'm getting all jumbled out trying to explain this. I'm going to try to make sense. I on purpose try not to look at numbers, because numbers will give a person the fat head, or they will discourage somebody so bad that they'll not want to continue. But as I'm starting out here at the church, I don't want to be a hindrance. And so I every now and again I'll check, and I saw the numbers of our Sunday school class last week, and I got excited. And I told someone, I said, man, I said, it was exciting. We had to put out more chairs. There were some more folks here. By the way, there's more of these chairs being ordered, just so that you know. They're on their way so that we can put those out, and those that are in the back don't have to sit down below the neckline of whoever is in front of them. Okay, you have to position your chair strategically to see in between the crowd. But anyway, so I was all excited, and I wasn't excited because I thought, but they keep you humble around here, because they said, yeah, that's a no-brainer. Brother Stevens was here, and he was speaking. He's loved around here. I'm like, okay, that's good. I get that. Thank you, Brother Leroy. So the Bible does 8 things for the believer in that it blesses, it gives life, it gives strength and liberty and wisdom and friends and comfort and direction. And we finished the week before last on that. Now, real quick, I'd like to wrap this up today. And we're going to look at what the Bible does here in Psalm 119 in that it charges the believer with some responsibilities. So if you'll go to Psalm 119, and we'll look, number one, at verse 97. Psalm 119, and who knew that Psalm 1 chapter could have so much in it? And we had mentioned also that in this one chapter, in the 176 verses, all but 3 talk or refer to the Word of God. All but 3 of them refer to the Word of God. And verse 97 says this. It says, Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Also look at 159. It says in 159, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me or make me alive, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. The Bible does charge the believer with some responsibility, and the one that we've brought out here is that the Bible asks us to love. We should love the Word of God. We should love it and cherish it. Why? This is not just a book. This is not just a book. This is the living, we use the expression, the living, breathing Word of God. The Bible is quick, it's alive and powerful, and more powerful than a two-edged sword. How can it be that way? Because John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word what? So God is the, and the Word is? That's why. That's why we should love it. That's why we should love it. Number 2, verse 72, we should greatly value God's Word. You say, well, that's the same as love. No, love is an emotion, that stems from getting to know someone or something really well. I love coffee. That takes some doing at first. At first, it smells beautiful, but you taste it and it's like, oh my soul. And that's why some of us have more creamer in our coffee than we do coffee, right? But I love coffee. So we should greatly value the Word of God. It says in verse 72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Now that's a statement. If we were to put a pile of gold and silver right here, and then we were to place the Word of God over here, and no one was in the room, just you, the gold and silver, and the Bible, I wonder which one we would go look at first before we looked at the other. We should value God's Word. Verse 128, the Bible says this, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. To be right. I hold them in such a high esteem that I consider it to be correct, to be right, to be just. So whatever the Bible says, because I hold it in that high esteem, it doesn't matter what it says. If God says it, that's it. I'm discipling some guys. And in the discipleship, they'll ask me a question. And I love it because it's things in their life that I know are wrong. And I could very well have brought that up the very first moment that we met for discipleship, but it wasn't the right time, and I'm not the Holy Spirit. And so I usually wait for the Holy Spirit to bring it up to him, and he does such a wonderful job in doing it. We're talking about big things. I'm talking big thing. I'm talking about a business owner and his financial dealings. And the Holy Spirit touches his heart towards about something. And I love to hear this come out of a mouth when it says, well, if the Bible says it, then that's the way it is. It's the way it ought to be. I need to change. I don't do that. The Holy Spirit does that. The Word of God does that. We value His Word and we esteem it so much that whatever it says, we do. It also says in verse 11 that we should memorize the Word of God. Brother Dan, I am not good with Bible memory. Neither am I. Welcome to the club. So what do? You repeat it often. The more I disciple, the more I lead people to Christ, the more I know the verses. And the more that I could without the Word of God. And let me interject something right here. And this is a rabbit trail, but it is a Holy Spirit-led rabbit trail that the Holy Spirit told me somewhere, somehow, and I didn't know where I was going to interject it, but it's right here. There's coming a day in this country when we are going to need to value the Word of God like never before. And when that time comes, just think about how in such a short amount of time certain liberties have been stripped from us in this nation. Just think about the power. And we are experiencing something here that around the world they're not experiencing, and that is we have freedom to worship. We had our governor come by and stand in that auditorium over there the other day and say that we believe in God and we believe in the right to worship. That doesn't happen everywhere else. There's people being shut down again most everywhere else in the world, except for the United States. But trust me with this. When the time comes, we are going to need this like never before. And the only way they cannot strip it from us is by guarding it in our heart. You guard it in your heart, nobody can take that from you. Amen? Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. We should also study verse 7, 119. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgment. Do you know the correlation there that it's showing? It says that praise will come out of our lips when we learn thy righteous judgments. So there's a direct correlation. If there's not much praise coming out, then I wonder how much learning of the Word of God is going on in our life. And verse 18 and 27 say the same. We should also meditate, the Bible says, on the Word of God. What is that? We talked about that. We talked about cows' stomachs and meditation. They chew it, and then it goes into another area, and they chew on it again, and then it goes to another one, and it chews on it again, and then finally it makes beautiful milk. Wow, isn't that interesting? It takes a lot of chewing to get that milk going, right? So, same thing with the Word of God. The more you chew, the better off you are. The more you meditate on it, the better off it is, okay? And there's other verses in 119, verse 23, verse 48, verse 78. But for sake of time, I must move along. We should also trust God's Word, verse 42. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Do you ever get nervous, Brother Dan, when people ask you questions all the time? but I have a supreme confidence in the Word of God, so that when a question is posed to me, though I may not know it right at the moment, or I may not be able to remember the reference, I can say, listen, let me get back with you on that. And I'm confident that the Word of God, because I trust the Word of God, and I'm not afraid of it. I'll be honest with you. When I was younger, I was afraid a little bit of the Word of God because it was so vast and it was such a big thing to me that there was no way that my little peanut brain could wrap around everything that the Word of God was. And so it frightened me a little bit. So much so that I would not approach certain aspects in my life, or there were certain questions about that. But I tell you what, the more that I know God, the more that I study His Word and learn about His Word, the more confidence I have in His Word, and the more confidence I had, and the more I trust that I know that it's got everything that we need. There is an answer to every question in life. It's in the Word of God. Amen? And I trust that. And it doesn't scare me anymore. I may not know where it's at, but it's in there. And I'll search and I'll find it to trust. We should also obey God's Word. Verses 1 through 8 talk about, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with a whole heart. They also do not iniquity, they walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. We should obey God's Word. Not just read it, but obey it. And then lastly, of those things that we're looking at in Psalm 119, we should declare or speak God's Word. Verse 13, look what it says. With thy lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. How many of them? All of them. Verse 46, look what it says. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. I will speak before kings and will not be ashamed. You say, well, how do you get to do that? You got to learn it. But don't be afraid of it, because we can trust in it. And 172 also says this. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. I do not apologize for knowing the Word of God, for reading the Word of God, for walking in the Word of God. I do not apologize for that. We used to. And many times by not speaking out is why we've gotten to a certain shape as fast as we have, because we haven't spoken up about the Word of God and about what's right. I don't have to be like everybody. And I'm not ashamed of that. I don't have to fall in the same traps that everybody falls in. And just because they fall in those traps, and I'm not minimizing anything that anyone has gone through or will be going through, but we don't have to do that. Oh, that's just the, you know, everybody does that. Well, so what? I don't have to. And I would encourage each and every one of us in our own personal life that we don't have to live a certain way just because everybody does. We can follow God in what He says. You say, well, Brother Dan, you're getting a little intense. Well, I do feel a little intense about that. People try to force me to conform to a certain way. I don't have to. Be who you want to be. But go for it. Do it on your own. Stop trying to drag me in on it. And the reason they want to drag somebody else in on it, they don't want to do it by themselves. And they don't want to feel guilty about it either, because deep inside their heart, they know something ain't right on certain things. And that's why they want to drag as many people as they can to be part of it. And I don't have to be part of it. Hallelujah. Sorry, I got a little intense there. I'm not sorry. No wonder Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all of God's Word is profitable. The whole Bible has been inspired and preserved by God that we might have an infallible guide that brings us to salvation and also that helps us that we can better know and understand our Heavenly Father and that we might be able to walk daily by His side, fulfilling His plans and His purpose for our lives. God loves you more than you could ever love yourself. He loves your family more than you could ever love them. And if we were to get closer to Him, we will find what He needs us to find out about. And He's our guide, and He will help us and guide us and direct us. And that is found in His Word. That's what guides us. That's what directs us. So we need to spend time in His Word. How wonderful are its purposes and benefits in our life. Many mistakes and heartaches can be avoided in a believer's life if we were to just take time to read, to trust, and to obey. Those are big ones. Read, we get that. Trust, now that's a little, you're starting to meddle now. And then obey. Well, now let's just back up a second. Let's just wait. Now, real quick to finish. Wow. I may not have time. Okay, we're going to get into it. The first one I need to touch real quick. Basic Bible study principles. Number one, and this is the only one I'll touch today, and we'll finish it up next week. Effective Bible study depends upon a correct heart attitude. Effective Bible study depends upon a correct heart attitude. This is what I mean by this. If you go in here looking for something on purpose, you might find it. Bless God, I'm going to show him. Just give me a second. Oh, right there. There it is. And we grab a verse out of context and we start wailing on somebody with it. Okay? Effective Bible study depends upon a correct heart attitude. When you go to study this precious, valuable, esteemed Word of God, make sure you're doing it with the right heart. Because you will find anything you want to find. Amen? Whatever glasses you put on, how many of you know someone that is just negative all the time? I mean, If you've spent 5 minutes with this person, it's too much, and you've got to go out for some fresh air. Because if you're not careful and you're forced to spend a full day with them, you'll walk away just hating life. My soul, who swung that door that way? It needs to swing the other way. I mean, you just get negative by being around negative people. Can you imagine what a negative person sees in the Word of God? Look at all this killing going on here. That's right. Let's just clean house. The Lord, He cleaned the temple, didn't He? Boy, He just went in a wailing. That's the only thing you see when you put on your negative glasses. You can just go all through the Word of God and see that. Or you can see, you know, it's like the question that they ask, why do bad things happen to good people? And that's not the question we should be asking. The question that we should be asking is, why do good things happen to bad people? Because we are all bad. And we know it. And so it's all in your perspective. So we'll shut it down right here because I have to. But for time's sake. But let's just consider that. When we study this beautiful, wonderful Word of God, let's make sure our heart's right before we do it. Amen? Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You for You being the Word. And Lord, we welcome you in our lives. Help us to read, to trust, and to obey with a right heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much.